After over 100 episodes, you can't expect me to come up with something funny as the bit before the theme music every episode. It's really not that easy. Because I've been spending hours trying to... Oh, hang on. I thought of something really funny. Hold on.
What's this? What's this?
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
What's this? What's this?
It's Christmas time.
What's this? What's this?
It's all humbug, I tell you.
What's this? What's this?
Well, just me and my trusty old Red Ryder carbine action 2 on the sharp range model air rifle.
What is this?
It's the Total Christmas Podcast with your host, Jack.
He's an angry elf.
Hello, you beautiful people, and welcome to the Total Christmas Podcast. I'm your host, Jack, and I hope you're having a wonderful Christmas in the middle of February. Actually, it's the end of February now, isn't it? Think of it. Oh, it's in March. We're in March now when this one comes out. Goodness. See, that's pretty much Christmas, really, isn't it? You got March don't last long, it's only 31 days. Then you've got like a few more months. Next thing you know, December. Boom! Christmas is upon us. Just going to run through the interactive bit quickly. You ready? Here we go. How you doing? Good. That was quick, wasn't it? Said it was going to be quick. I didn't lie. We all win. So, couple of things before I start the show. Both Tinsel Tunes and Merry Britsmas, they also went on hiatus, like I did, through January. But they're back. So, if you're not listening to those guys, get out there and listen to those guys. I know they've released at least one episode each. So, yeah, go and check them out. I know you're going to love it. I think that's it, is it? Yeah, I can't. I'm sure there's other stuff to talk about, but I'm not going to talk about it. Let's not talk about that. Let's talk about Christmas. I've got a packed show. I've got lots of segments in this episode. So, let's start with this one. I don't think I've ever done the joke of the episode at the start of the show. I've never done it before. This is a first. Feels kind of crazy, kids. How do you feel about it? I don't know if I can do it. I'm going to try, though. We're going to give it a shot. Here we go. See how it works out. Are you ready? How do you know when the turkey's done? It flushes the chain and washes its hands. That's not too bad. Come on, we've had worse than that. I know, you're probably a bit discombobulated because I did the joke at the start of the episode, but I think we can all agree that joke was something. It was something. Yeah. This is the quiz. Okay, kids, we're going to get it out of the way. Do you know what? I got an email from Benji Pearson. Do you know how many scored in the quiz last episode? Two. Can you believe that? Two. Goodness. I didn't think it was that bad. I do not know what to say. I'm hoping you do better this time, Benji. You can't do much worse, can you? Well, you could do worse. You get one or none. But still. Right. Here we go. Question numero one. In what year was the famous Christmas Day truce when a football game was played between British and German soldiers during World War One? There you go. That's not that tricky, actually. Because what? How many years have you got? You've only got like 4 or 5 years to choose from. As long as you know like the years that World War One was fought over. Yeah, well, good luck with that one. Question numero two. Panettone is a... This is an easy one, isn't it? Panettone, you know where that's from, isn't it? Yeah, panettone is a traditional Christmas fruit loaf of which country? Now, pan in French means bread, and tony means Tony. So this is Tony's bread, okay? I don't know if that's a clue, or I could just be talking rubbish, but that's something as well, isn't it? Right, next one. Which bears were the best-selling toy of Christmas 1983? Okay. Right, Bing Crosby's original version of the song I'll Be Home for Christmas was banned from airplay on the BBC on the grounds of its sickly sentimentality. Is that true or is that false? It doesn't give us a year, so I don't know what year that song came out. I'm guessing it was like around Bing's heyday, so we're probably talking 40s or 50s. I don't know if they banned it when it first came out, or like years later they're like, oh, we're not playing that song. I don't know. I do not know. But was it banned anyway? Might not have even been banned. I don't know. Question number something. Which Pope said, it's a nice quote, this one. You'll like this. You'll like this. God never gives someone a gift they are not capable of receiving. If he gives us the gift of Christmas, it is because we all have the ability to understand and receive it. That's a nice quote, because I have the ability to receive Christmas gifts. Christmas gifts. Yep. Okay, question number, I don't know. In Disney's 2009 animated version of A Christmas Carol, who provides the voice of Scrooge and all three of the ghosts? All three of them. Actually, it's not all four of them, because it's all three of the spirits, isn't it? It's not Marley. You don't do Marley's voice. It does the rest of them, though. Whom? Whom does those voices? Next one. What is the opening line of Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You? Okay. What's that? Easy one, isn't it? Just sing it in your head. First line. Boom. You've done it. Next one. Which star of TV series... This isn't that Christmassy, okay? But let me explain it. Which star of the TV series Dallas and the Naked Gun comedy films made her British panto debut in 2012/13 as the Wicked Queen in Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs? See, it's Christmassy because it's in a panto, and that's a real tradition here in the UK. So whom was that? She was in Dallas and the Naked Gun. Whom, I ask you? Whom? Next one. In Finnish Christmas tradition, what animal is named... Now, I'm going to say this wrong, okay? But I'm going to give it my best shot. Joulupukki. I'm spelling that. It's J-O-U-L, which is like Yule, because it's Yule. That's what they call Christmas, Yule. U-P-U-K-K-U. Yeah, so that's how you spell it. Joulupukki. I don't know. Question, I don't care. Oh, is this the last one? What? They went by quick, didn't they? Okay, this is the last one. What is the name of the elf in the 2003 film Elf? Now, hold on. Don't think you're going to get away with his first name. I need the second name. You're not even getting half a point if you get his first name. I need the whole name. Okay? Right. Here come your answers. Question number one. In what year was the famous Christmas Day Truce, when a football game was played between British and German soldiers during World War One? It was 1914. Yeah, it was like the first Christmas of the war. And all the top brass were really annoyed at them on both sides and said, look, we're not doing that again next year. And the following year, they threatened all the soldiers and said, look, you know, you will be court-martialed if you go and fraternise with the enemy. Yeah, but that year, it was glorious. Next year, well... I suppose it's wartime, isn't it? Right, next one. Panettone, or Tony's bread, as it likes to be called, is a traditional Christmas fruit loaf of which country? That, of course, is Italy. Question number three. Which bears were the best-selling toy of Christmas 1983? Do you know? I knew that one as well. It was, of course, the Care Bears. Or, actually, in England, as they're called, the Care Bears. Yeah. I remember the Care Bears. I said, do you know what? When I was a kid, me and my mate, I can't remember if it was his birthday we were going. I don't think it was, but he was really into Transformers. I was into Transformers. So we went to see the Transformers movie at the cinema. I can't remember if they'd stopped showing it or it was full. So we had to go and see the Care Bears instead. It's not quite the same, is it, kid? I mean, I know it's a toy-based cartoon from the 80s, but it's not the same. It wasn't the same, kids. It's not the same as the Transformers. So yeah, we had to go and watch the Care Bear movie instead. I don't think I hated it. I didn't really care for it though. Right, next one. Bing Crosby's original version of the song I'll Be Home for Christmas was banned from airplay on the BBC because of its sickly sentimentality. Is that true or is that false? Do you know what? It's true. They banned it. Do you know what? I thought that was false. So I've made a fool of myself. Right, which Pope said, God never gives someone a gift they're not capable of receiving. If he gives us the gift of Christmas, it is because we all have the ability to understand and receive it. And that was Pope Francis. And I thought it was John Paul. So I got that wrong as well, didn't I? Right, next one. In Disney's 2009 animated version of A Christmas Carol, who provides the voice of Scrooge and all three of the ghosts, but not all four of them? I don't like the way they've worded that. You don't do Marley. That was, of course, Jim Carrey. We all knew that, didn't we? Yeah. Okay, so this is me talking from the future again. I just blooming realised when I was listening back to it, it's like, right, I didn't do all the answers, did I? I missed out this one. Okay, and I'm doing it now. So I say I'm doing it now. You think I'm just recording this straight off the others. I'm not. This is actually, like, the next day. It's actually the next day that I'm doing this. Okay, you ready? It's just one, and I'll be off again. And I'll let the guy from yesterday, he'll be back. Are you ready? What is the opening line of Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You? You ready? This is it. I don't want a lot for Christmas. That's not quite how she sings it, though. Tell you this, right? I don't want a lot for Christmas. But then she says, All I Want for Christmas Is You. Now, I get her point that it's only one thing. But a whole human being, that's quite a lot, isn't it? If you say, oh, what can I get you for Christmas? It's like, I could do with some new socks. Or maybe a jumper. Oh, actually, could you get me a human being? What, a full-grown one? Yeah, a full-grown human being, please. Have I got to wrap it? Yeah. Has it got to be alive? Because it's going to be difficult to wrap a human being if it's... Well, you could sedate it, couldn't you? Just get me the human being. What kind of idiot are you? Goodness. That can't be right, can it? That someone wants a human being for Christmas. She's saying, oh, I don't want a lot for Christmas. She wants quite a lot for Christmas, a whole person. What's she going to do with it as well? And I know she's saying you. Who's she talking about? Me? It ain't me. I tell you, it's not me. Could be me. I wonder if it is me. My wife will go spare. Right, I'm going to pass you back on to past me, the ghost of Christmas past. Yeah, I should have remembered to do that question because this has taken a turn, really. Okay. Next one, which star of the TV series Dallas and the Naked Gun comedy films made her British panto debut in 2012/13 as the Wicked Queen in Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs? That was Priscilla Presley, yeah, Elvis's wife. Yeah, I knew that one. Number 8, in Finnish Christmas tradition, what animal is named Yulupuku? I hope I'm saying that right. Yulupuku? I don't know. Anyway, that is Christmas goat, yeah. And do you remember, I covered that, you probably don't. You probably don't even listen to the show, do you? It just washes over you. A while ago, I covered the old Swedish Juleblock. Is it called Juleblock? I'm probably saying it wrong now, aren't I? But that was a goat. They had the, like, straw goats they'd make at Christmas and the ornaments you'd hang on your tree, or this giant one that they'd made in this town. That was a good episode, actually, that one. It's worth going back and having a listen to the Christmas goat, because it was quite an interesting story, that was. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, that was a goat. And the last one, what is the name of the elf in the 2003 film Elf? That is Buddy Hobbs. And do you know what? I just thought Buddy. I didn't think of his surname, so I didn't give myself a point for that. So to my shame, I only got 6. I got that blooming Yulupuku one wrong. I didn't know which Pope it was. And also, I didn't think the BBC banned I'll Be Home for Christmas, because it's a lovely song. What were they thinking? Well, there we go. Anyway, I hope you did better than 2 on that one, Benji. I hope you all did better than 2. I hope you all scored 10. I hope you all scored 5. So I still beat you all. But, you know, just sort of feel good about yourself. Right. That was the quiz. Now we're going to do something else. I don't know what it is yet. I'm going to find out now. Here it comes.
Do you hear what I hear?
Do you hear what I hear?
You know, at the Tiki Bar, we do really try to be healthy. I mean, we recognize that alcohol does not have a lot of vitamins. That is why we drink so much of it. Now, people like to debate if Die Hard is a Christmas movie. I am of the mind that if a movie mentions Christmas or shows some Christmas lights, it is fair game. I mean, I accept the British pictures Millions and About a Boy as Christmas movies, and I usually will watch them during the holiday season. Now, another debatable English film is Terry Gilliam's Brazil. I mean, it is filled with Christmas decor. It has trees, cards, wreaths, presents, tinsel. It even has carolers and multiple Santa Clauses. So what's the problem? I'll give you an example. There is an idyllic Christmas scene where Deck the Halls is playing. A mother and daughter are cuddled in an armchair. Dad is wrapping presents, and a little boy is playing with his toy soldiers. This scene is straight out of a Hallmark movie. The mother is reading a Christmas carol to her children. Scrooge was better than his word. He did it all, and infinitely more. Then, with just the slightest hint of sleigh bells, a team of officers burst into the room, coming through the walls and ceiling, and they drag away the dad in a straitjacket. Mom is left standing in the wreckage of her living room with the two traumatized children clinging to each other. Some argue that, with moments like this, Brazil doesn't qualify as a Christmas movie because it doesn't have the necessary holiday spirit. It really isn't about Christmas, and it is filled with violence, like bombs ripping apart department stores filled with holiday shoppers. So not exactly a Linus moment. But more on point, it has another moment that I have chosen to avoid for over a year. It is the blinking beacon of Do You Hear What I Hear? There is a scene in Brazil where the individuals pass an elevator and one asks if they want to take the lift. Now this is the most obvious cliche example used by Americans to point out the differences in our US versus UK slang. It's the tired lift elevator debate. Whereas we Yanks like to describe the use of lift as being stiff and formal, I see it another way. Why do we use the more clunky and obscure word elevator when lift actually seems more obvious? So the English term came from the Old Norse word lipta, which means to raise. The word then blended with the Germanic liftian and, in Old English, became lift. Back then, it meant heaven or sky, and the word loft has the same origins. By the 1930s, lift became Britain's widely accepted term for the vertical transportation device being used in buildings. Now, elevator comes from the Latin word elevare, which also means to raise up. The simple reason for the different terms is that the word elevator in America was used to differentiate the devices that carried people from those lifts or hoists that carried goods. Thus, it is this historical background that distinguishes the words. In the United Kingdom, lift refers to a mechanism that travels up and down, transferring all sorts of items. However, the American phrase specifically refers to the mechanism that raises and lowers people within a building. So this all reminds me of a joke. Why do they call them lifts in the UK and elevators in the US? Because we're raised differently. Cheers and happy Christmas.
Look at that, boys and girls. He puts in more effort than I do for any of my segments. And also he puts a joke in there, which is actually pretty funny. And the one at the start about the vitamins in the beer, I actually laughed out loud first time I heard that. Fantastic work, as ever, by my mate Bob. He's going to be back again a little bit later on. But in the meantime, we're going to have to do something else. Do you know what we're doing? We're doing this!
What the dickens?
Well, we haven't done one of these in a little while, have we, boys and girls? So, this is the segment where I talk about some of the language or stuff that's in A Christmas Carol that you might not be aware of. So, I'm going to cover three little things today. The first two are about the names of a couple of the characters. Now, I may have briefly touched upon this before, but I'm going to touch upon it again. I want to talk about Scrooge's name, and it comes from the colloquial term Scrooge, which is a word that means to squeeze or to crowd out. And back then, in Victorian times, there was a number of different spellings for it. In the book I've got here, the annotated Christmas Carol, where I get most of my information for this segment from, it lists four different spellings as well as the one that we're used to. And it is actually a word that Dickens has used in his previous works. So in chapter 39 of The Old Curiosity Shop, it says,
Kit had hit a man on the head with the handkerchief of apples for scrouging his parents with unnecessary violence. So there you go. So it is a word that used to get used. I've never ever, actually, I was going to just say, I've never heard anyone use it, but they do now, don't they? People use Scrooge to refer to a tight gear. Yeah, so I suppose now, thanks to the book, it completely changed the meaning of it, and the meaning that used to have five different spellings, well, now it's only got one meaning and one spelling. Yeah. The second one is about Marley's name, and this isn't anything particular about what his name means. It was an interesting anecdote about Dickens choosing that name for the character Marley. Now, this comes from The Dickensian, which I believe was a magazine or periodical about Dickens and his work. This was printed in the summer of 1938, and we're told, Dickens took the name of Scrooge's partner from Dr. Miles Marley, an Irishman who practiced medicine on Cork Street, Piccadilly. Dickens was a guest of his at a St. Patrick's Day party, and when the subject of the novelist's interest in unusual names came up, Dr. Marley mentioned that he thought his own surname quite remarkable. Do you know what I thought about this? And I was thinking, I don't think Marley's that rare, is it? But then I thought, well, the only famous Marley I know is Bob Marley. I mean, I know a few others. There's Dave Marley, Pete Marley, Mike Marley, Bob Marley. Oh, not the one you're thinking of. This is another Bob Marley that I know. Yeah, so there's a few out there, I suppose, most of which were just made up. But then it goes on to say, Dickens reportedly replied, your name shall be a household word before the year is out. So I'm guessing that put St. Patrick's Day party, which would have been like springtime, I'm guessing that was in 1843. That's where he went to a party hosted by Dr. Marley. So that's why we have the name Marley as Scrooge's partner. Now, the last thing I wanted to talk about was the line where it says, the fog came pouring in at every chink and keyhole. Now, in the description of what's going on that day, that Christmas Eve in 1843, we're told that it's frosty out, incredibly cold, because obviously poor Bob Cratchit is there, freezing in the office, rubbing his hands together, trying to keep warm, asking for a bit more coal on the fire. He ain't getting it. But at the same time, we're also told that it's incredibly foggy out. And the New York correspondent to the Boston Bay City Democrat in January 1844, so this was printed in a newspaper only a month after the book originally came out, he challenged Dickens on the meteorological soundness of his representation of the London weather. It says, in the commencement of the book, he describes the city as being shrouded in a dense fog, which streamed through the keyhole of Scrooge's office. While the thermometer was at zero, in our country, vapour vanishes at the approach of frost, but perhaps a London fog may be less easily scared up. And it got me thinking about that. And I looked into it, and yeah, in this country, I guess in other countries, if you have a fog or mist and the temperature falls below zero, then it just becomes freezing fog. It's also got another name, which is rime, R-I-M-E, and it's also known as hoarfrost. And the funny thing is that only a page earlier, Dickens refers to rime when he's talking about Scrooge, and he says a frosty rime was on his head, referring to Scrooge's hair, suggesting that Scrooge had white hair. And the term frosty rime is actually redundant because rime is a hoarfrost or freezing fog. So he could have just put a rime was on his head. But I think maybe he was just trying to clarify that those that didn't have a clue what rhyme meant was. But I just found that, again, really interesting, and I thought I'd share it with you, something that I came across when I was going through my book. That's this episode's What the Dickens. I wanted to do this because it's a rare episode, kids. I'm not doing a version of A Christmas Carol this episode. No, I'm not. What am I doing instead? Well, if I don't do A Christmas Carol, I normally do one of these. Boys and girls, this is another segment I haven't done in a while, isn't it? Yeah, the old Muppet Christmas specials. Now, this one doesn't actually have any Muppets in it, but it does have puppets in it from Jim Henson's Creature Workshop. So this one we're looking at is called A New York Christmas to Remember, and it was originally shown on the 24th of December in 2013, and it was shown on CBS. It was a Christmas special. And it was filmed in the Church of St. Paul the Apostle in New York. Now, what it is pretty much a Christmas carol service, but they tell the nativity story, and as they're telling the story, you've also got a puppet show going on, or a Muppet show, but they're not Muppets. You've got a puppet show going on illustrating the story, and it's really quite magical, actually. I really enjoyed it. So interspersed with this is people discussing the birth of Jesus and the gospel, and also a number of carols and different songs. So yeah, it opens up and it starts off, one of the priests introduces it, and then he introduces Regis Philbin, because Regis Philbin is the one that reads out the Bible passages as the puppet show is going on. And Regis starts off by telling everyone in the congregation, and of course us at home watching, that he was raised very close to there, and he was actually christened in the font at the entrance to the church, which I thought was really nice. Yeah. Now, here in the UK, we are, or some of us, are probably familiar with Regis Philbin. I mean, we've seen him on a number of films and specials. But for those of you that aren't familiar with his work, he was a television presenter and talk show host and game show host. And he was known as one of the hardest working men in television. And he held the world record for the most hours on US television. Yeah. But he didn't know that. Sadly, he passed away in 2020 at the age of 88. So I guess when this came out, he would have just been turned 81 or 2, I guess. So yeah, that's Regis Philbin. And so Regis reads the nativity story, and as he's reading, the puppets are going on. And the concept behind this was an idea of Jane Henson's, and Jane Henson was Jim Henson's wife. Sadly, she passed away in April of 2013, so she wasn't actually there to see this, but it was something that she was a part of the design of and the ideas behind. And it really is, to watch the puppets, it really is quite magical. Now, these are the ones, they're not marionettes and they're not hand puppets. These are the ones where you'd have people stood behind them. Normally they're dressed in black, but these guys are all dressed in grey, and they're moving the puppets with their hands. Hard to explain, but I'm sure you've seen the ones I mean. And it really is quite spellbinding watching these puppets move. So we first off, we get the angel coming down and talking to Mary and telling her she's going to have a baby. And then there's the next bit, what I'm a massive fan of, because it talks about how the angel tells Mary that her cousin or something, or her auntie Elizabeth, who was thought to be barren, is pregnant. And Mary goes to see her, and she's huge compared to Mary. I don't quite know why they did it this way. Like, the puppet for Elizabeth is a good, like, 50% taller than Mary for some reason. But yet, Joseph and all the shepherds, when we see them later, they're about the same size as Mary. So I don't know what was going on with Elizabeth, that she was so massive. But that's fine. That's their choice of the design. Then there's a bit where they're singing a song, and they've got these lovely, they're kind of like a kite, but it's on a pole, and then they've got like birds flying in the air. And at one point I thought they were swans, but then later on they look like doves, so I'm not 100% sure. But it's lovely, because as people are singing, they're looking up and watching these birds flying through the air. Yeah. Then we get the actual nativity itself, when little baby Jesus is born, and it's very cute, this little baby Jesus puppet in his manger, and they're sort of moving his little head. And then the angels come down to the shepherds, and we see them, and then later on we see the wise men as well. So it does cover the whole story. And I wanted to list the songs that they sing that we have. So they've got three different choirs there, and they sing different songs each. And the first one we get, and this is the opening song before anyone comes up and talks or anything, is one called Once in Royal David's City. Now, this really surprised me, because I don't know if you remember, but back when I used to do the quiz and I'd have to hum a tune and you'd have to name what the tune was, that was back when I had the quiz in a box, I don't know if you remember. Anyway, I had Scott Newman on one episode and I had to hum Once in Royal David's City, and he's like, yeah, that's Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And I was like, no, it's not, it's Once in Royal David's City, listen. And I hummed it again, he's like, yeah, that's Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And I said, no, it's not. And then we got in a massive fight, which is kind of difficult over Zoom, but he was throwing punches and I was kicking, I got him in a headlock, I don't know how I managed it. I still kind of had the laptop in a headlock. It was, that never happened, but if it had happened, it would have been hilarious. But Scott wasn't familiar with Once in Royal David's City. Now, here in the UK, that is a really popular carol. And this very famous service, Carols at King's, which is held every year in London and televised every year, it always opens with the song Once in Royal David's City. So I found it really nice that they opened with that song to a congregation that might not have been that familiar with it. Yeah, Anyway, that was the first one. Then we've got Ave Maria, after the angel has spoken to Mary. Then they sing O Come Emmanuel. And then Silent Night, a lovely one. Then Angels We Have Heard on High. What Child Is This? And then, this is really nice, this is after they've done the puppet bit with the three kings, you get the song We Three Kings of Orient Are meshed in with Carol of the Bells. And they've done a really good job of it, actually. It's really good. It's worth watching it just for that song, to be honest. And then the final song they finish with is Joy to the World. And in the show, interspersed, there's a small segment where they talk about the history of the Church of St. Paul the Apostle. And also, they do a very short segment about Jane Henson as well and her work in creating these puppets. Yeah, that was interesting because I was never really that aware of Jane Henson and her work. So it was nice to see her when they talked about her. And her daughter, Heather, is one of the puppeteers there. So that's pretty much it. Like I said, it's not Muppets, but they are puppets from Jim Henson's workshop. And what I thought was really nice about it is it's one of those things that if you're a religious person, or even if you're not, even if you just like that sort of thing at Christmas, it's a really nice thing you could just put on in the background, or you could sit and watch it at Christmas time. And I think you'd really get a kick out of it. I really do think it's worth watching. Yeah, the singing's lovely. The puppets are really nice. It's just a very good special. So if you've got nothing better to do, kids, you could do a lot worse than checking that out. Now it's time for this. In our world of plenty, we can spread a smile of joy. Here comes Bob again, boys and girls. Here he comes. Come on, Bob, speed up. Bob, get a move on, mate. We've got people waiting. Just come here. Will you stop doing that? Thank you. God, look at the state of you. You look a mess, mate.
Thanks, Jack.
One of the interesting things about Christmas is how we often put on the Christmas cheer like our holiday decorations. In the same way that we hang up wreaths, lights, and ornaments, we adorn ourselves with kindness, patience, and a positive mood. Then, when the season is over, we pack it away. Our effort each episode is not to put this spirit back into storage, but to keep it on display all year. Today's suggestion is a free one, but it does require practice. The practice of forgiveness and compassion. You are faced with a choice in everyday moments to do better and spread goodness. Empathy and understanding eases conflict in the world. So do yourself a favor. Tune in to Season 8 of the StoryCorps podcast from NPR. It begins on May 3rd, 2022, and it runs for 12 episodes. These are only about 20 minutes each, but they provide real-life examples of people doing nice things. These are small gestures, but as you hear them, they make a difference. These little moments will inspire you and give you ideas on how to spread a smile of joy. If you have a special way that you like to show compassion, let us know. We are collecting our own real-life examples of how you throw your arms around the world.
Well, boys and girls, I will be putting links in the show notes to that podcast that Bob recommended. And then after you've listened to this episode, why not go and check out one of those episodes? And maybe it will encourage you to be more wonderful, because that's what this segment is really trying to do. Encourage you to be wonderful all year round. And then after you've listened to an episode or two of that, why not check out Festive Foreign Film Fans? I recommend it every episode. I hope you bloomin' take my recommendation. It's really good, and it stars my mate Bob. They talk about foreign films. You don't need me to tell you what it's about. I tell you every episode. Just go and listen to it. The latest episode came out a few days ago. Off you go. Go and listen to it. Actually, don't go and listen to it now. I told you the order of doing that. You've got to listen to the rest of this show, okay? Then you listen to one of the other ones he was just talking about. Links in the show notes. Then you listen to Festive Forum Film Fans. Links also in the show notes, okay? Now I've planned your day for you. You don't have to thank me. Now let's do this. So, boys and girls, this Christmas all over the world, we're going to look at a custom in Finland. And what this is, now, Finland, like many Scandinavian countries, or that sort of, to be honest, actually, just a lot of Europe, they tend to celebrate Christmas on Christmas Eve. That's like the big feast, that's the big deal. Normally it starts in the afternoon or early evening, and that's when they have like the big festivities. And in Finland, on Christmas Eve, before you have your big meal in the evening, it's tradition to go and have a walk around the graveyards. Yeah, it's nice, isn't it? I mean, the thing is, it gets dark pretty early because we're right by the solstice there. So it's going to be like the shortest day or 3 days off it. So it's going to be getting dark pretty early and you're going to be walking around a scary old graveyard. And what if someone jumps? No, you don't have to worry about any of that, because what people do is they go and put candles on the graves of their loved ones. Now, originally, this was more part of the Kekri, which is the Finnish harvest festival, and this was a time for people to feast and to remember the dead. And as people sort of lost interest in that as a festival, the traditions from the Kekri moved to become part of Christmas. So the feasting, which I guess was already part of Christmas, but the remembering the dead became a thing that was associated with Christmas. And in 1921, a young girl called Lily Gottenfeld lit a candle for her sister, who had died in the September before, and placed it on her grave. And gradually, more and more people started doing this for their own loved ones. And it spread throughout the whole country. So now, over 100 years later, when you go to the churchyards on Christmas Eve, it's described as a sea of candles, where people have just gone and put candles out for their loved ones. And originally, it'd just be a normal candle you'd put out, but, you know, they're outdoors, it could be a wind. So now people buy specific candles that have been designed for this thing, and they've got like a plastic shell around them to protect them from the wind. But they've also got a type of wax in there that takes longer to burn as well. So it's not just like a, you know, light it and it's burned down in no time. You light it and it'll be there burning most of the evening. And they do sort of say, please leave candles a good 20 centimetres apart or 30 centimetres. I forget what it said, actually, which is very silly of me, because I should have remembered that, because I don't want to be putting my candles too close together and creating a massive fire. And also says about not putting them too close to the gravestones, because the smoke from the wax as they burn will leave black marks on the gravestones. Yeah. So people put in these candles out for their loved ones. But look, I don't live near any of the graves of my loved ones. So if I went to my local churchyard, they have a special area, like a memorial, where just people can just put a candle for their loved ones. And there you get a massive amount of candles for people elsewhere around the country that aren't necessarily buried in the graveyard. And people go there because they get a real peaceful feeling walking around these quiet graveyards with a sea of candles just burning everywhere around them. And I saw the pictures, and it was the sort of place you might want to be. You might want to go for a nice walk on Christmas Eve, you know, have a nice walk outside in the freezing cold, I've got to add. A lot of the pictures, there was snow on the ground and that. But you're walking around in the freezing cold, that's going to build up a good old appetite, isn't it? Because then you've got the feast to look forward to straight afterwards. Blinding, isn't it? Yeah, you got that. Nice one. And it really is a popular event, and it says up to 75% of people visit a graveyard at Christmas. It didn't say 75% on Christmas Eve, though, but that is definitely the most popular day to go and visit the graveyards. But yeah, up to 75% of the population at some point around Christmas will go and visit the graveyards just to have a walk around, take a leisurely stroll and enjoy the atmosphere of those candles burning. And the public transport system in Helsinki, the HSL, they arrange extra buses to take people to the larger cemeteries for them to go and walk amongst the tombstones. Yeah. And I just wanted to read out a little bit from this chap called Risto Leto. He manages six cemeteries run by the Parish Union of Helsinki. And he said, Though the cemetery may be crowded, the atmosphere is silent and solemn as people quietly reflect on the candlelit scene and their lost loved ones. In truth, cemeteries are for the living and not for the dead, says Leto. In Finland, we really take care of our cemeteries as scenic parks with grand old trees. They're places where people can enjoy a peaceful stroll as well as remembering the deceased. Grieving can be a long process, and we like to provide settings where people can gain comfort. Our cemeteries are nothing like the scary derelict graveyards you see in horror films. So there we go. That is a lovely tradition that they have in Finland. And my wife, she always goes to visit where her grandmother's ashes were scattered on Christmas Day. She goes with her mum and her sister. And I sort of thought that's a similar sort of thing. But what's great about this one is that there's loads of people there, but it's still really quiet. So it's not like some brash, loud affair. It's really peaceful. And you can just wander around looking at the candles and enjoying the atmosphere and thinking about your loved ones that have departed. Yeah, really nice tradition. So, good work, Finland. Now let's move on and do this. So, boys and girls, I've actually got another recommendation for you. I haven't done a proper recommendation for a while, have I? I blurted something out last week about the Artful Dodger. Well, this episode's recommendation is called Petty Crimes, and I'm going to read out the blurb from Apple Podcasts. It says, each week, Petty Crimes co-hosts and longtime friends Kira O'Sullivan and Griff Stark Ennis passionately investigate minor interpersonal disputes, arriving at a verdict with each case examined. Part comedy, part true crime, completely petty. And it is. It is. It is petty. It's like a true crime podcast, but it's just not proper crimes. You could never actually prosecute these people for the annoying things they're doing. And I wanted to come out with a lot of examples for you of all the episodes, but I don't think I'd do them justice if I told you what they talk about. Here's what happens. People send in things that have happened to them. It could be a stranger that's wronged them in some way. It could be a friend or even a family member who's wronged them in some way. And then Griff and Kira talk about it, and they're very funny, both of them. They're very funny. They chat about the crime, and then they pass their verdict on who is in the wrong. And I'll tell you what I really like about it is you're there thinking, oh yeah, I'm on side of the guy that wrote in. I'm always on side of the guy that wrote in. And you start off feeling that way. And then sometimes you're listening and you're thinking, well, hang on a minute. Because if you looked at it from the other person's point of view, and they do that. The hosts are really good at that. Because they could just side with their listeners all the time, going, yeah, you're right, the other person's an arsehole. But they don't do that. And it's really even-handed. Both of the hosts are really even-handed. So I think you'll like it. And then at the end, they do this little bit called criminal or minimal, when then they start talking about like the slightest things. So it could be like, for example, chatting in a movie theatre. Is that criminal or is that minimal? Picking up some food you've just dropped on the floor and eating it. Is that criminal? Is that minimal? I can tell you it's minimal. I do it all the time. I love it. That's where I get all my food. Thank you. So check it out. The link's going to be in the show notes. It's called Petty Crimes, and I think you'll enjoy it. I think you will. And if you don't enjoy it, well, you know, we're all different. We all have different tastes, don't we? If we didn't all have different tastes, then when you went in the ice cream shop, they'd only sell vanilla, wouldn't they? Well, not vanilla, it could be just everyone would like chocolate. I don't know what taste everyone would like, but we'll never know because everyone does have different tastes. I'm trying to explain that to you, okay? Do you need another example? Yogurts, they got different flavours, haven't they? Frozen yogurts. Do you want another example? Go to McDonald's, they've got loads of stuff on the menu, not just one thing. That's what I'm talking about. Now I've forgotten what I was talking about. Oh yeah, Petty Crimes, check it out. And that is it for this episode. I really hope you've enjoyed it. I don't think I've got anything else to say, have I? If you want to read my book, go and read my book. If you want your grass mowing, I do that as well. I'm a gardener, don't forget. Yeah, is that it? I can't think of anything else. I'll be back again in 2 weeks' time. Oh, no, of course. If you want to get in touch, I'd love to hear from you. We've actually had someone send in a suggestion for Spread a Smile of Joy. If you've got something that you think is something that you do that spreads a smile of joy, I'll tell you what I like to do, okay? It's only a little thing. I'll save it. I might send it to Bob and he'll go, no, that's rubbish. But, you know, I did my bit. If you've got something you want to share, send it in. I'll pass it on to Bob. He'll read it out. But I think that's a wonderful segment and I'd love it if you could be part of it. And I know Bob would too. If you want to get in touch, it's totalchristmas@gmail.com or the website is totalchristmaspodcast.com. I think it's over 3 years since I've updated it. over 3 years. Yep. So go on there. It's like a blast from the past. It's like travelling in time back 3 years to what my podcast used to be like. Where was I? Oh, yeah. I'm going to be back again in 2 weeks' time. In the meantime, you know I love ya. So Merry Christmas.
Get out of here, you nosy little pervert, or I'm going to slap you silly.